Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Win, 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 win. More W's than a Walt Disney World bumper sticker stand. That is Tampa Bay Lightning hockey. And this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, brought to you all season long by Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Bill Curry. Happy New Year, everybody. My goodness, it would appear that 2019 is picking up where 2018 left off. The Tampa Bay Lightning complete an undefeated of sorts, December 13-0-1. Points in 16 straight, 15-0-1 in that stretch. In the NHL standings, the picture is as sunny as it gets. Through half the season, 41 games played, the Bolts are 32-7-2, 66 points, 12 points clear of the second place team in the NHL, who just happens to be in our division. That would be the Toronto Maple Leafs. I said this last week, not thinking I'd have to go back to the well again. How do you improve upon, how do you talk about perfection? It's actually kind of a challenge. If you look at the Lightning in their last 10 games, 9-0-1, as I said, in the last 16, 15-0-1, they find different ways to win games. This week was a perfect example of that. Starting out with a game against Montreal, one where we score in the final 102 of play, Adam Ernie with the marker, the game-winning goal. It was that line, I thought, that made the difference. Talked about it last week on the podcast that it wouldn't surprise you if quote-unquote role players for this team take over for a given game and score some big goals. And it was a new trio that were hounding the puck all night long that got it done against Montreal. It was Anthony Cirelli in the middle. It was Adam Ernie and Yanni Gourde. And I really like this line. I don't know how long they're going to stay together, but the way they play the game is so complimentary. None of them are superstars, but they're all effort players who have more skill than you think they do. And it showed. I really like all of the permutations we're throwing out there right now, while obviously not touching Kucherov, Point, and Johnson. But that was a game in which Montreal scored a bunch. We scored a bunch. I think it was Dan Girardi who said, walking off the ice, I guess we're just going to win 6-5 every night. Jokingly so, because obviously you want to play tighter defensively. But we gave up a lot of chances. Montreal dominated in terms of quality chances, shots on goal for much of the game. We tightened up in the third period, found a way to win the game. The mystique of the Tampa Bay Lightning lives on. I think sometimes teams grip their stick a little bit tighter in the third period when we are coming on because they know, they've seen it on film, how good we are, and we impose that type of fear on other teams in hockey. Just take a look at last night's game against LA. The first 2 minutes or so, the Kings come out absolutely flying. We answer them stride for stride, but honestly, the best chance that LA had the entirety of the first period was in the first 15 seconds. It was a Kopitar partial breakaway from the left circle coming in on Vasilevsky. He makes a stop. The rest of the period, we completely dominate. And that was a game that has followed the form of so many others. More of a complete game for Tampa Bay, and it's one that you could put on ice after 40, no pun intended, and we close it out winning 6-2. The middle game is the most different. Anaheim, if any team this year outside of Nashville, if you just look at the numbers, or Ottawa, certainly has our number. We've scored 2 goals in regulation against Anaheim this year. Split the season series, 1 win, 1 loss for them. It's 1-0-1, so they grab 3 out of 4 points where we grab 2 out of 4. But that was a game that showed the versatility of this 2018-2019 product. And to me, that's the buoying thing. The graphic we discussed also last week said that through 37 games, it might have been 35, don't hold me to the 37 number, Tampa Bay had 200 more hits this season than they did the season prior. Record was the same, point total obviously was the same, but we were more physical. Anaheim tried to bully us for the second time in about 6 weeks, and it was a really tightly checked game. Getzlaff, you love him. If he's on your team, you hate him. If he's not, but there's no doubt that he gets in players' heads. And he's got something for Braden Point. I don't know what happened along the way in those two lives that Ryan Getzlaf does not like 21. The same thing with Edmonton. Maybe Braden does some stuff behind the scenes that players don't like or the NHL community doesn't appreciate all that much, but he seems to be the target of a lot of challenges. It could just be that he's a young superstar and guys aren't willing to give up all those rights to him just yet. They don't want to give him his bona fides without a fight. But Braden always answers, and he's obviously playing quite well right now with the overtime marker against Anaheim to finish that game off with a 2-1 win. So Tampa played poorly defensively, found a way to win. Tampa Bay got physically challenged, found a way to win, and then they absolutely dominate the LA Kings. One of the more buoying things so far this week is we have back-to-back games where we give up two goals or fewer. One against Anaheim and two last night against LA. That's good to see. We need to tighten up a little bit on the defensive side of the rink. We were giving up far too many chances in the Andre Vasilevsky part two of the season. He comes back. Toronto, I mean, what was it, like 81 shot attempts to the net, and it was 46 went on goal, something along those lines. It was something crazy. And since then, we didn't really play all that well in front of Andre, just assuming that he was going to make saves. And he did for the most part. But if you want to be impenetrable when we get to the postseason, that's something that in the second half of the year, we're going to have to focus on and tighten up. Another thing I mentioned last week that I'm going to have to echo, and that's just what happens when you keep winning hockey games. Not a problem, but is we are knocking on the door of history here. You saw the first graphic last night. You know, for the first half of the season, it was, what are we doing relative to other teams in Tampa Bay Lightning history? We've had some really good ones, headlined by that 04 team that won the Cup, but we've had some prolific hockey teams in recent years with this regime and this core player, core group of players. In 2003, we got off to a rabid start, and that's why in 2004 we were saying, okay, can you do a little bit more than that? Can you improve upon that? But this team went from being compared to others in Lightning history to now teams in NHL history in terms of the points they put up, in terms of the goals they score, and in terms of the wins they rack up as well. Last night, the graphic on Sun Sports said this. Since the end of World War II, there have only been two teams to get to 31 wins through 40 games. The first one, the Chicago Blackhawks in 2012-2013. If you remember, that was a lockout-shortened season. The Blackhawks at that point were in the midst of an all-time dynasty. They won 36 out of a possible 48 games that year. They won three quarters of their games. The second team to achieve that feat, 31 wins in 40 games. That's right, us. We did. That's heady company. The other two teams, it was the 44-45 Canadiens and the Bruins from damn near 90 years ago when there were 10 teams in the league. So just think about that. In a salary cap world, we are absolutely dominating the sport. I said it for the last 3 weeks, and I'm going to continue to do so. Everybody, every team in the NHL has at least 12 regulation losses to this point in the season. That is except your Tampa Bay Lightning, who only have 7. In 41 games, in half a season, Tampa Bay has walked away with 0 points. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your NHL standings, 7 times. In 41 games, we've scored 174 goals. The next closest team is Calgary. They've scored 150. We are 24 goals clear of the next closest team in terms of offensive output in the league. Our power play is over 30%. It's clicking at about 30.5% as of this morning, right now. If you go over 30% for the season, you are in company with about 2 or 3 other teams since the mid-1970s. That's the kind of company we're keeping right now. This is dangerously close to the best power play I've ever seen in my lifetime, and we've seen Pittsburgh boast some incredible power plays in the last few years. Kudos to the Florida Panthers, by the way, who have a power play clicking at over 28%. Who would have thought that, right? They're not all that good as a team. They've only got 40 points this year, but if you put them on the power play, they're going to score goals, but not like we do. It's just a pleasure to watch Stamkos, Kucherov, and Hedman do it again. And last night, Stamkos was the facilitator on the first two goals. First one to Kucherov, where he could have pirouetted, backflipped, sat down on the ice, done a yoga pose, and then shot the puck. That's how much time he had. Jonathan Quick was faked out that much before the 5-on-3 goal. And then the second 5-on-3 goal, this was on the heels of a 4-minute double minor for high sticking, and then a subsequent couple of penalties. Braden Point was the one to finish the job. Braden Point on a pass from Steven Stamkos, who again faked it from about the faceoff dot. Fed it to his left. It's a bad angle, but when it's a wide-open net, it's a wide-open net, and Braden Point finishes the job there. And then Stamkos would obviously score later his power play goal, that after hitting a post earlier in the night on the power play. So there you go. Above 30%, if you get to 32%, you're setting an all-time NHL mark. Would you put it past us the way we're going right now? I would not. Here's a note from the NHL PR. Largest lead in overall standings at the midpoint of a team season. Since 1960, no team has had a 12-point lead over the second-best team in the NHL. That is, the best team against the second-best team in the league, not the division, not a conference. No team until this year, the Lightning, have a 12-point lead over second-place Toronto at the midpoint of their season. We are doing scary, scary things. You know who else is doing scary things? That's Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford is now giving away a 65-inch television with every vehicle purchase. New general manager Sean Sullivan wants you to watch all the Bolts games in the NFL postseason in style and enjoy a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles at Bill Curry Ford. Just a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, the beautiful Bill Curry Ford showroom is always a great experience. Remember, if you're close and you're just looking for something to tip the scales, Bill Curry Ford sponsors Hockey Talk in Tampa Bay. So we'll be right back on the Joel Bolts Fan Podcast right after this, and I'm going to give you some numbers about what Nikita Kucherov has done in his last 5 games that puts him in company with NHL Hall of Famers.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin goal call. You're riding the Lightning on the Joel Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Part 2 of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, and this one has to do kind of with a first half of the season in review. The ratio of the good to bad, I think you know what the ratio is. It's incredible. But we'll start with the 3 stars of the first half, because to me, the first one on this list, who will be the third star, is the guy that gets lost in the shuffle because of what we've seen in December with the points and the goals and everything flying left and right. So here we go with the 3 stars of the first half of the season.
Time now for the Joe Bolts Fan 3 Stars of the Week.
Greeting.
It would be easy to go in any order, Stamkos, Point, and Kucherov, but you might say I'm biased against the captain. I'm not. He's had a great December, but I'm going to start with the defenseman for our third star of the first half.
Number 3.
The answer to this one is Ryan McDonagh. I'll start with this. When we extended Ryan McDonagh, I did not like that signing. The reason was we had him under team control for another year. You could evaluate what he was. You could evaluate how he fit in our system, because I think it was an imperfect fit for the stretch run and the playoffs last year. Though his numbers appeared pretty good, and obviously his time on ice was invaluable, and in that he could put between 25 and 27 minutes out on the ice every night for you in the postseason, I thought McDonagh wasn't quite a square peg in a round hole, but he certainly was not comfortable enough in our system. Perhaps he would be, but we have 82 more games, to evaluate that before we extend him. We decided to do so and cut it off at the pass. The team's reasoning, we found out, is because McDonagh was playing hurt last year. And they could not have been more right about this signing, at least through the first half of the of this 2018-2019 season. Ryan McDonagh is the third star for the first half because of 2 simple things. Number 1, Victor Hedman was out for an extended period of time, so we needed to lean on 27 for a lot more. And he was able to answer the bell. For that period of time, after Victor Hedman suffered his injury against Vegas, Ryan McDonagh was up amongst the leaders across the league in plus-minus. And that's playing alongside point number 2, Eric Chernak. He's helping cultivate a new top four defenseman in the system. Now, if you believe the beat reporters and people who were watching all throughout camp in the preseason, Eric Chernak's time was coming anyway, but it cannot be understated the value of having a veteran defenseman, a steadying presence next to you on the ice, so that you can be free to make mistakes and grow at an accelerated rate. One of my favorite things about watching Detroit or Colorado, New Jersey to a degree, in the 90s and early 2000s, was that when they had a stud player, the expectations for that player was not to light the world on fire. It was just to be a part of the assembly line. It was about being a part of the greater machine. You didn't have to come up if you were a second or third year prospect and score 30 goals for Detroit. They were going to go to the playoffs anyway. They had superstars. You just needed to fit in, be a part of the culture, and do your own job. And if you graduated from 12 minutes a night to 20 minutes a night, well, you did it by earning it. You didn't do it out of necessity. What Ryan McDonagh has done for Eric Chernak is allow him to grow at an accelerated rate at the NHL level because he's been Chernak's backstop. The question for 81 moving forward will be, how are his legs in April and the postseason? And when the playoff intensity arrives, does he still have the poise that he's shown so far? But kudos to the number three star of the first half of the season in Ryan McDonagh for carrying the load when we lost our Norris Trophy winning defenseman for an extended period of time. And for being the team's most consistent defenseman, for my money, for the entirety of the 41 games. He's tapered off a little bit of late, but he was bearing everything, the weight of everything for our defensive core. And he's come out like roses. And this extension looks like it was the right move. So good job, Steve Yzerman. How many times have we said that over his tenure, even now, when he's the senior consultant for the Tampa Bay Lightning's front office? To number two we go.
Number two.
It was a bit of a shocker to me that Steven Stamkos was taking over this guy, Braden Point, for the All-Star game, considering Stamkos is closer to 20th in scoring than anything else, and Braden Point is 7th in the league in scoring. Meanwhile, Braden Point is also one of the better defensive centers in the league. His faceoff percentage is not elite, but he's drawing against the best in the sport night after night, and he's doing so while scoring 23 goals in the process. He's got goals in two straight now, over 50 points. The kid does a little bit of everything for you. He centers the best line in hockey with the best player in hockey, who will be, spoiler alert, your number one star. But he's great defensively. He's great in the open ice. He's got incredible vision. His shot is not elite, but it's effective. And he does the dirty work in the power play, too. You notice he's in the middle of the power play now. Anthony Cirelli drew a little bit of time with the first group last night, mostly for faceoff duty, but he did okay. And Braden Point has just been Mr. Consistent. You don't go long distances in the playoffs without a guy like Braden Point, because even when he's not scoring, he's shutting down the opposition's first line. And that's really hard to do, because when you don't have the puck and a line like Pastrnak, Bergeron, and Marchand has the puck, you're doing a lot of chasing. And the value of a player like that, it's the same as Patrice Bergeron, who he's up against for the NHL's last man in terms of fan voting for the Atlantic Division in the All-Star game. And I think Bergeron or Marner is going to get it, obviously, because they're in Boston and Toronto, and those markets are huge. But make the case for this guy. NHL.com/vote. Go, people. You can do it 10 times a day. Braden Point deserves to be in the All-Star game more than the captain, even though he's playing incredibly right now in his own right. But the number two star of the first half has to be Braden Point for all the big moments he's had. And he had another one this week with an overtime marker to close out the Anaheim game earlier in the week. Now, obviously,
number one.
A Ric Flair woo. Nikita Kucherov with 69 points through his first 41 games. That's nice. Kucherov now in some serious heady company. Listen to this. In Nikita Kucherov's last 23 games, he has 51 points. That 23 games, the first of which was when Andrei Vasilevsky went down to injury. We were playing Pittsburgh. Rick Peckham noted this last night on the Lightning broadcast. When we needed more goals most, Louis Domingue is our goaltender. Uh-oh, you better score four or five a night. Nikita Kucherov took his game to another level. 69 points through 41 team games, 69 or more, since 1993 or 1994. It's only been done 8 times. Here are the names on that list. Mario Lemieux, who had 93 points through 41 games in 1995-1996. Tell me that that's not the best player that ever lived. That's the middle of the trap and good goaltending era, and that dude had 93 points through 41 games. That's stupid. But here are the names on the list. Mario Lemieux, Jaromir Jagr, Ron Francis, Wayne Gretzky, Sergei Fedorov. That's it. Thanks for playing. Now Nikita Kucherov is on that list as well. I'm going to give you some more notes from NHL PR because this is simply stunning. Kucherov has collected at least 4 points 3 times in his past 5 games. Only 3 others have achieved that feat. You'll know 2 of the names, certainly if you're any kind of hockey fan, and the third name if you're an old-time Lightning fan. The weird name, Nils Ekman did it in 2005 and 2006, but he was a Bolt. I believe he wore number 28 back in the day. The other two, Mario Lemieux, that was in 1996, and Jaromir Jagr, who did so in 98-99. Nikita Kucherov has scored a goal in 8 of his past 9 outings, including an active 5-game goal streak to hit 20 goals for the 5th consecutive season. Selected 58th overall in the 2011 NHL draft, Kucherov's latest game last night against LA makes him the first member of his draft class to hit 400 career points. He did so in 406 career games, the second fastest in Tampa Bay Lightning history to hit the 400-point plateau. Only Steven Stamkos did it quicker. That's because he was scoring 50 to 60 goals a year, and Marty St. Louis was his linemate. Stamkos got to 400 points in 384 games. Nikita now has 400 points, actually 403 because he had a 4-point night last night in 406 games played. Truly speaking, he is the best player in hockey right now. He leads the world in scoring, and he can play make as easily as he can shoot and score. We are living a very privileged life in Tampa. Tomorrow night, the Bolts take on the San Jose Sharks. That's an 11 p.m. puck drop. Crazy. 11 p.m. We play in the Shark Tank. That should be a good challenge. Played 2 lowly teams this past week, certainly in terms of offensive output. Then we see Columbus next week on Tuesday night. And on Thursday, let's take a look here at the schedule. I know it's another home game. Is it Carolina we have? Come on, Internet. You can work for me here. It is indeed the Carolina Hurricanes. We play Thursday, January the 10th. That is a puck drop at 7:40 p.m. Embrace it, Tampa. It's not always like this. In looking up power play numbers for the Bolts and all-time power play numbers to see how far behind we are the Montreal Canadiens NHL record mark, I see that the Bolts hold the all-time worst power play record in NHL history, under 10% in 1998-1999. In the 2013 season, the one that Chicago won 36 of a possible 48 games, we didn't make the playoffs. We didn't even sniff the playoffs. How times can change. Chicago is one of the worst teams in hockey. We're one of the best teams in hockey. So embrace this while we have it. We seem to win every single night, and that's literally true. And as always, support Bill Curry Ford if you're making a buying decision for an auto vehicle. This has been the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, brought to you all season long by Bill Curry Ford. We'll talk again next week.